Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment in the day that we can gather together, that we can be with our brothers and sisters in Christ freely, that we can be an encouragement to one another. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can now open your word and look at your word and learn from your word this morning. We pray that you would remove any and all distractions that we might be facing right now and truly just focus in on you, your word, and what it might be saying to each one of us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So we're going to be in the book of 1 Thessalonians this morning. If you want to turn there, if you're using one of the church Bibles, I believe it's page 836. If it's not 836, I think that'll put you really close to it. So 836, 1 Thessalonians, if you're using your own Bibles. We're going to chapter 3 this morning. We're going to look through the entire chapter of chapter 3 this morning as we continue to study. Before we do that, if I were to ask you, give the assignment this morning, for you to take 30 seconds or less and give some encouragement to somebody that's sitting around you, the person to your right or the person to your left, I'm going to guess that some of us would struggle with that, to do it so quickly and to do it to somebody that we may know really well or we may not know really well. There's reasons why we struggle with that. But this morning, what I want to talk to us about as we're looking through 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 is really the call to encourage, the call to be encouragers. And then it also ties in with the fact that we should be encouraged as well. So we're going to be looking at this idea of encouragement this morning. I love what William Barclay wrote in one of his commentaries on the book of Hebrews. He wrote these words: "One of the highest of human duties is the duty of encouragement. It is easy to laugh at men's ideals. It's easy to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. It's easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another." I love that line that he wrote right there. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time, a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept a man on his feet. Blessed is the man who speaks such a word. In a gathering this size this morning, I can almost guarantee that somebody has come that is dealing with discouragement. It's just the reality. My hope for today, as we get into this passage, is that each of us will leave here not only encouraged through the word of God, but also realizing that we can make a huge difference in other people's lives as encouragers. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to start out by kind of exploring the text. We're going to break it into three different sections. We're going to go all through the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to go kind of section by section. We're going to talk about those sections real quickly. And then we're going to talk about how we can apply what we've read this morning. So starting with the text, starting in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless." So prior to this, Paul talks about how he feels to be separated from the church in Thessalonica. In chapter 2, verse 17, it talks about this. And Paul uses this word in that particular verse, torn away from each other. And when he talks about being torn away, if you look it up in some commentaries, you'll find that the Greek form for that word in its context actually meant orphaned from each other. So Paul felt so intensely about it that he described the reality of being separated from the church of Thessalonica as being a parent separated from a child or a child being orphaned from his parents. That's a strong feeling. Paul didn't like the fact that he was forced to leave, but he had to listen. You don't invest your life in people and then just walk away from them as though it never affected you. Paul absolutely knew they were facing persecution just like he had faced. And even though he had warned them about the persecution they would face, he was still concerned that it would turn them away from their faith in Jesus Christ and that his efforts would all be in vain. So Paul found himself in kind of a dilemma at this point. He was forced to leave the Thessalonians, but he was terribly concerned about the Thessalonians. So what could he do? He tried to return again and again, but Satan stopped him. He could try to send back another member of his ministry team to go and visit on his behalf, but that would leave him in a very vulnerable situation for himself. This wasn't an easy decision that Paul had to make, but ultimately, he decided to potentially harm himself in order to try to help the Thessalonians. So he sent Timothy back to check on them and to minister to the Thessalonians. Paul mentioned some encouraging things about Timothy in the verses that we just read, right? Paul called him his brother and God's fellow worker. Paul expressed a confidence in Timothy, that Timothy would be able to strengthen, that Timothy would be able to encourage them through his ministry to them, through his time being spent with them. It was a challenging assignment for this young evangelist, but Paul loved Timothy and had complete confidence in Timothy and even selfishly didn't like having to be separated from Timothy. So how did Timothy's trip back to Thessalonians go? Let's look at what Paul has to say. So we continue on in verse 6. It says, "But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now, we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith." So Timothy safely traveled to the church in Thessalonians and then returned to Paul with this good news, is what it really comes out to. Timothy's report includes the fact that the faith and the love of the Thessalonians was intact, that it was doing well. He also reported that the Thessalonians had good feelings about Paul, and that they longed to see him as much as he longed to see them. All of this was such a relief to Paul because he had invested all of his time and energy into this church for so long. Even in the midst of his distress and persecution, this news was an encouragement to Paul. He said, "For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord." That doesn't mean that if they weren't standing firm in the Lord, that he would be dead. Right? How would you feel if you received news that somebody that you cared about, that you love, left the faith? Certainly, we'd still be alive as individuals, right? But man, that news would sting and hurt and disappoint. In everyday life, when parents receive news that their children are well, the parents are thrilled about that. It brings joy. They can breathe easy because their children are doing well. But when they receive news that their children are not doing well, then they're devastated. I think that's what we're talking about here. The same is true in the spiritual sense. Paul was so encouraged by the good news about the Thessalonians that he asked the question, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that you gave to us?" Are there people that are in your life that you feel that way about? How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that you give us? Do you have anybody in your life like that? That's the kind of effect that faithfulness can have on people. Our faithfulness can bring encouragement and joy to other people. And then Paul finished up this chapter as we continue on here in prayer. And he says, starting at verse 11, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for anyone and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with all his holy ones." Paul's praying for them, it was constant. He was always in this mode of prayer for this church. He said that he interceded for them night and day, according to this passage. Paul prayed that God would clear the way for him to visit them, to get back together with them, which appears that it never really happened. So we see that even Paul was told no sometimes to some of the prayers that he prayed. Then Paul prayed for their love to increase and to overflow for each other and for everybody else, he went on to say. Love is such an important part of the Christian life. There's nothing perhaps more important that we can pray for each other than that we grow in our love and overflow with our love. For both Christians, and as Paul said, for everyone else, which is where it gets difficult for us. Because that everyone else includes those who persecute us, those who we might consider to be our enemies in life for whatever reason, those who have disappointed us, those who have hurt us, they all fall into that category of for everyone else. And we also see that Paul prayed for their hearts to be strengthened and purified as a people. As always, everything in this letter looks forward to the coming of Christ. That's how Paul is. This is the heart of Paul. Jesus is coming with all his holy ones. And we want to be found blameless and holy in his presence when he comes. That's something to pray about. So we've kind of walked through this passage of scripture from
1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now I want us to talk about how we apply some of the principles that are found in this passage. Really, the application comes from this question. How can we be an encouragement to others? How can we be an encouragement to others? First, I think we can be an encouragement by being present, by being together. You know that a couple weeks ago I talked about the importance of community. That's what this is, the importance of community. It allows us to be an encouragement to each other. Our faithfulness and regularity and attendance when the church comes together is of great encouragement to each other in the body, especially considering the distance and obstacles that some people face to be here on a Sunday morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and this is where I get the idea that we're called to encourage. Hebrews 10, verse 25, it says it like this. It says, "Let us not give up meeting together, coming together, worshiping together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another." Let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. I think a lack of attendance is discouraging for people. It's discouraging for those who come to worship when they see that the people that they love, the people that they have relationship with, they're missing. And that hurts. It's discouraging for the one who doesn't come because they miss out on the spiritual blessing of being together with their brothers and their sisters in Christ and receiving the spiritual empowerment that comes through worshiping together. God's people should long to be together. Paul exercised that longing when he was separated from the Thessalonians. And we ought to feel the same way about each other that make up Fairland. So the first way to be of an encouragement is just to be present with each other. That presence certainly includes being present in worship on Sunday mornings, but our presence can also be encouraging in other important things in life, right? Like going to, witnessing an important school program that's taking place that a student has put a lot of effort into, and you're just there to encourage them with your presence. Or going to a person's home or a nursing home or a funeral home or a hospital and just being there with them in a time of need. Just your presence alone. Oftentimes, you don't have to have the most amazing words to say in that moment. Just your presence alone is an encouragement to them. Secondly, as we talk about how we apply this, we can be an encouragement by being faithful through trials, through the hard times, through the really, really difficult nastiness of life. No doubt going through trials can be discouraging for people. We've all probably faced them in some way, shape, or form in our lives. But the last thing that we should think is that my trials are discouraging to others. Because the opposite really actually can be the case. It can be so encouraging when we see people being faithful in spirit through the trials of life. Isn't that true? When we see somebody going through something incredibly difficult, but yet they stay faithful to God, it can be such an encouragement to our hearts to see that. And I tell you, write this down if you're taking notes, or even if you're not, write this down. You're going to want to be here. October 24th, we're going to be interviewing Rob Baer and hear a little bit more of the inside scoop of the story of him walking with Tiffany through her battle of cancer. And you talk about a great example of just this, right? I know so many people that have been encouraged by Tiffany, by Rob, because of their faithfulness to God through such an incredibly difficult trial in life. Being faithful through our trials doesn't mean always wearing a happy face and pretending that our trials don't hurt, don't discourage, or that they don't burden us. Encouragement comes when we see others honestly expressing the struggles of their trials while at the same time expressing their commitment to God or their trust in God in the midst of those trials. Whenever we face the trials of disease, of divorce, death, or anything else in life, that is not a time to stay away because we don't want to burden others or discourage other people. That is a time to gather together and to be an encouragement. I can't tell you how many times in the years of being in ministry that I've been encouraged by the faithfulness of my brothers and my sisters in Christ as they've faced something in their life, it's been hard and challenging, but yet they've stayed steadfast in their relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a huge encouragement. So we can absolutely be encouragement by being faithful through the trials in life, the tough times in life. We can be an encouragement by expressing our appreciation for others. That's the third one. The Apostle Paul was quick to express his love and his thanksgiving for others. It means so much to me when I am able to receive a note, an email, whatever, of appreciation from somebody that is just sending you something real quickly to say, look, I want to encourage you. I want to share something that is good that took place. Maybe I'm weird about this, but I actually, both electronically and in paper, I have files for those things. Because there's some days where you just got to pull those things out and reread them. Appreciation for others goes in a long, long way in regards to encouraging others. It was said that Abraham Lincoln, and I didn't have time to call him this week to confirm this, but it's said that Abraham Lincoln carried with him a newspaper clipping stating that he was a great leader. Isn't that interesting? I like to think it's true. Even Lincoln needed encouraging words. I love the story of the boy who was said to his father, he said, Dad, let's play darts. I'll throw the darts and you just say wonderful. Most of us, we're not quite that upfront in regards to our need for encouragement. But yet we all need it. We all value it. Words of encouragement and appreciation are so powerful. And the great news is that it's something that all of us can do. It really isn't that difficult to share words of affirmation to somebody. Look for ways to express appreciation for a great effort or a great job on something. Look for people who might be discouraged. And just send them a quick note, encouraging them, letting them know that they're cared about, that they're thought of. I guarantee that you will be encouraged also in that process. It's just the way it works. Fourth, we can be an encouragement by spending time with others. This kind of ties in with the first one to some degree. What more encouraging gift can we give to somebody? The first one was more so corporately that I was talking about. This one's more so individually, right? So what more encouraging gift can we give to others than to say that we will spend time with them? It shows that we truly love that person or value that relationship with the person. By spending time with that person, we're ultimately saying that we like having them around, that we want to get to know them a little bit better, that we want to share ourselves, or at least parts of our lives, with them. Ultimately, it's an expression of how much we value that person when we spend time with that person. How can you spend time with others? You can invite somebody over for lunch or go out somewhere to eat. We can take a walk in a park or around the mall together. We can get together for lunch or coffee. You can go to a ball game or to the movies or fishing. You can figure out how to do this. Today marks the 16th anniversary from when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. Did you know that? And today, in hours, you're going to get hit again by Ida. I remember when that hurricane happened 16 years ago, Rachel and I were blessed to have the opportunity to go down to New Orleans after and to work at helping clean up some of the aftermath of what took place. And I remember in each situation, we were down there with Samaritan's Purse, and if I'm remembering correctly, I think they referred to the individuals that we were working for as our neighbors. Am I thinking that right? Our neighbors. So they were big on, yes, go in and get the job done. Make sure that you clean stuff up and that the place is in a better place when you leave than when you came kind of mentality. But they were also big on spend time with the neighbor. Talk to the neighbor. Hear the neighbor's story. Because that is an encouragement to the neighbor. And I remember, at least in one of the households when we were leaving, the lady had tears of joy and thanksgiving. And she said, I just can't believe that you guys took a week of vacation time to come down here and muck out our houses for us. We can be an encouragement by just simply spending time with others. The activity, it really isn't the important part. The most important part is the notion that somebody wants to be with you. And that's encouraging. And then finally, we can be an encouragement by praying for others. Praying for others. I'm sure that you've, at some point in time in your life, had somebody tell you that they're praying for you. And when you actually know that they are praying for you, it's not just something that they spewed out of habit, it feels good to know that somebody has intentionally decided to pray for you. During somebody's failing health, it is such an encouragement to know that somebody is lifting you in prayer. Our prayer chain ministry is such an important one and one that we can all be involved in, where we receive messages of things like Rachel's mom going into the hospital and then are asked to pray for her. I really appreciate the way that we spend time when we gather together corporately to pray. I know that whenever our church leaders meet, either the church board or the ministry team, we almost always begin our times together with time in prayer. And oftentimes, as we know things that are taking place in the lives of those within our congregation, we spend time praying for those. So we need to keep on praying. And we need to share with others that we're praying for them. Because that's where the encouragement part comes, is knowing that somebody's praying for you. So as you pray for somebody, just shoot them a quick text or a quick phone call, quick email, and let them know that you've been praying for them. And that act alone, I guarantee you, will be an encouragement to them. I really hope and pray that all of us here this morning, we leave here a little bit more encouraged. I hope that we're encouraged by each other's faith and faithfulness, the people that we've gathered with together this morning. That should be an encouragement to us. I hope that we're encouraged by thinking about how we can be an encouragement to others this morning as we leave here, as we go into this next week. It's easier There's no question about it. It is easier in life, I believe, to be a discourager than an encourager. But we're called to be encouragers. Sometimes, when we think about these ideas that we've just looked at, sometimes encouragement is not as difficult as we think it is. We can do it by just being present together as a body. We can do it by being faithful through the times of trials, being faithful to God in our times of trials and letting other people witness that. We can do it by expressing appreciation to other people, by sending a quick card, a quick note, a quick email, by spending time with others. We can be an encouragement, and we can certainly do it through praying for others. So as we wrap up this morning, I would challenge you to pick one of those areas and say, you know what, this is an area that I can improve on in regards to being an encouragement to others. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these words of Paul that we were able to read this morning and learn from this morning. We are called to be encouragers. Help us to do that, Lord God, even when it's hard, even when it's tough to do it. Allow us to be faithful to that calling. Today we just looked at five ways that we can possibly encourage others, and there are many other ways. So Lord God, I pray that you put on the heart and on the mind of each one present here in this building today, worshiping with us online today, ways that they can be an encouragement to somebody in the next days ahead. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time together this morning. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.